Good morning. I want to ask you to open up your Bibles if you brought it with you. If you're not, there should be a Bible in front of you, underneath the chair. Oh, but before I start, I want to ask, are there any people that are going to be rooting for the New England Patriots today in the Super Bowl? If you got, oh, there's someone with courage. God bless you. We'll forgive you. Anyone rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles? Okay, who does not care? All right. I'm rooting for the commercials myself. Okay, so we are in Mark chapter 5. We're going to begin with verse 1, and we're going to read through to verse 20. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He, Jesus, gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went in the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Now, the demon-possessed man is also called the demoniac. And here's an artist's rendition of this. And I'm curious, how many people here have had an experience with a demon? Raise your hand. A few, yeah? I know personally I have not had an experience with a demon that I know of, and yet the Bible is very clear. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Yet our culture is becoming increasingly more and more enamored with demons, with witches, and with the occult. Does anyone know the fastest growing religion in America today? Okay, I don't hear real well. I'm hearing several different things. But my understanding is Wicca. There's 200,000 registered witches, 8 million unregistered witches, doubles every 30 months. And so our culture really has been getting into this. Yet in God's word, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 through 12, "No one should be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, or interprets omens, or engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults with the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord." Okay, now, when someone is hired on at the U.S. Treasury, and their job is to find counterfeit money, they go through training. And when they are trained, they are not given counterfeit money to learn, okay, yeah, this is counterfeit paper or counterfeit ink or counterfeit print or a counterfeit water seal or any of that. What they do is they give him the United States currency, hard currency, and they learn it so well that when counterfeit money comes across their hands, they know immediately that it's counterfeit. And I'd like to think that the same is true spiritually. You know, I want to learn the real thing. I don't want to learn about the counterfeit spirituality, whether it's demons or Satan or any of those kind of things. I mean, yeah, we have three enemies: Satan, the world, and our flesh. And so I think we're pretty well aware of that. But today I want to focus on the real thing. And the real thing is Jesus. And it's interesting because in this passage, here's a man who's possessed with not just one demon, but he's possessed with a legion of demons. Does anyone know how many are in a legion? 2,000. You would think so, because there's 2,000 pigs, right? But I think the man has shown that more than one demon can get in more than one live being. According to dictionary.com, this is not my definition, there's 3,000 to 6,000. So there's thousands. Can you imagine the torment that this man is in? You know, you and I, we think we have things tough in our lives, right? But can you imagine the absolute misery this man is in? This man is running around naked in a cemetery among tombs. He's taking stones and cutting himself. And people could hear him crying out and screaming. I don't want to be judgmental. I mean, clearly this man had issues. You know, we all have issues to a greater or later, lesser extent. You know, and people can have spiritual problems. This man had a spiritual problem. People can have mental problems. I know I have a nephew who was diagnosed as being bipolar, and he got some help. He's on a medication, and it's really helping him out. I'm not equating those two things. But the point is when you have spiritual problems or whatever your problem may be, I want to encourage you to get help. And we don't want to be judgmental because everyone has issues. But now this area is known for the stones that they have because these stones are made of flint. And I don't know about you, but flint is very sharp. I know as a young boy in Indiana, we would get flint stones and you'd break them and they'd shatter and they'd make great stones that you could skip rocks across the stream in. It was a lot of fun. But this guy is not having fun with his flint, because he's inflicting wounds on his body. I like the song by the Goo Goo Dolls called Iris. It was popular about 20 years ago. It was on the number one, 18 weeks on the charts. They have a line that says, "You'd bleed just to know that you're alive." Maybe you've been in that kind of pain before. I knew a woman I met several years ago, and she was a cutter. I don't know if you know what a cutter is, but she would cut herself because she was in so much despair and she had no hope. And that was the best way she knew of how to cope with her pain. So this man would cut himself, and he had some kind of freakish strength, which very well may have been a function of his demon possession. Because anyone who would bind him with chains and irons, he would break them. You know, I can't help but think of it being the Super Bowl, and the Steelers really could have used a guy like this on their offensive line. You know, and then Jesus comes along. Aren't you glad that Jesus comes along? The demon-possessed man did not cross the Sea of Galilee and come to Jesus. Instead, Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee and comes to him through a crazy storm. And Jesus is still getting out of the boat, and immediately this man comes running up to him, falls on his knees, and at the top of his voice shouts, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Now, I don't know about you, but that would scare me. I mean, here you have a man naked who looks like Hulk Hogan, and he's got cuts all over his body. He's screaming and running at you at the top of his lungs. I mean, wouldn't that scare you? Not Jesus. In fact, this demon called Jesus the Son of the Most High God. Because the demon knew exactly that Jesus was the Messiah and the Christ. And you might not catch the irony of that, but the disciples in the prior chapter had just asked, "Who is this man?" The passage right before, Mark chapter 4, says, "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke Jesus and said, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' And the wind died down and it was completely calm. And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" So we have the disciples asking, "Who is this?" And they weren't even out of the boat from the storm, and this naked, demon-possessed man with cuts all of his bodies and freakish strength, he comes up shouting, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." I love the irony of the Bible. I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, can the man who rebukes the wind and the waves also rebuke the demons that are in this poor man? Absolutely. Jesus says, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." And the demons beg Jesus, saying, "Send us into the pigs. Allow us to go to them." And Jesus gave them permission. And the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. And the herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Now, I have 2 young boys, and Legos are really big in our home. And I saw this picture and I couldn't help, especially with the flu going around. Here's the pigs going off the cliff into the lake. Now, what is going on with the demons and the pigs and Jesus? Well, the demons know that Jesus has authority over them. The demons know that Jesus is going to judge them. They know that they're going to be thrown into the abyss of hell. But right now, they have the freedom to roam the earth. Because you see, people who choose to sin again and again, they open themselves up to the powers of darkness, which eventually can lead to demon possession. And Jesus has arrived to deliver this man from all these demons, and he grants the demons' requests to allow them to go into the pigs. But does Jesus know that the demons would end up killing the pigs? I mean, I don't think Peter would be too happy about this. So why did Jesus allow the demons to do that? I think Jesus did know. Perhaps Jesus allowed the death of the pigs so that everyone could see that Satan and his demons want the death and destruction of not just pigs, but human beings as well. Because the demon's goal is destruction and death of all of God's creation. But also, this is a clear picture of the power of Jesus in delivering this man from so many demons. Because you've got 2,000 drowned pigs just bobbing in a lake, and a formerly demon-possessed man dressed, sitting, and in his right mind. And it also shows you that the value of one man free is more valuable than 2,000 animals. And it also expresses the hearts of the people of this area. Because when the news gets back to town, these people don't seem all that excited about the fact that this demon-possessed man is now set free. And people aren't saying, "Wow, I want to meet this Jesus." No. Instead, they're afraid. And they plead for Jesus to leave. These people don't want to have their sin confronted. They want Jesus to leave and not confront their sin. You know, Jesus can turn our sin of lust into love. Jesus can turn our lies into truth. Jesus can turn our pride into humility. Jesus can turn selfishness and greed into glorifying God. So the loss of these pigs shows the hearts of these people, because they can only focus on the loss of their wealth and their fear of Jesus perhaps confronting their sin Here they had the creator of all wealth in their midst, and they send him away. Do you ever find yourself doing that? Where you say, Jesus, go away. You know, this tithe is just costing me too much money. Jesus, go away, because you don't know what's best for me, because clearly if you knew what was best for me, things would be better. Jesus, go away. You scare me. You don't belong here. This is for me and my friends, and we want to do our things, not yours. Jesus, go away. I want to see this inappropriate TV show or movie or website. You see, these people had put chains and irons on this man. And it very well may have done it to protect themselves as opposed to protect the man. I just don't sense a whole lot of love from these people toward this man. Do you? But how about the love of Jesus? Do you sense the love of Jesus toward this man? I mean, isn't it an accident that Jesus encounters this man? Do you think it's just an accident that they go through this incredible storm where the disciples were afraid they were going to die? And they just happened onto the very same shore of this demon-possessed man? Do you think it's an accident that Jesus travels into Gentile territory, into the neighborhood of pig farmers? Because we all know that being around pigs can make a Jewish person unclean. But not just pigs, being around Gentiles can make a Jewish person unclean. But not just that, being around evil spirits can make a Jewish person unclean. And not just that, but being around a person who lives in a cemetery among tombs can make a Jewish person unclean. So are pigs and Gentiles and evil spirits and cemeteries a problem for Jesus? Not at all. Jesus came to love this man in the middle of his pain, in the middle of his hurt, in the middle of his nightmare. Do you know this Jesus? Have you experienced his love? Have you experienced his freedom? You see, Jesus came to set this man free from demonic possession. Jesus came to love this man despite the fact that he was repulsively four times unclean. That's the Jesus that I know. Do you? Because once you've experienced the love of Jesus, you can love the most repulsive person that you can think of. And if you have trouble forgiving, perhaps it's because you've not fully experienced Jesus' love and forgiveness in your own life. Have you experienced Jesus' love and forgiveness? If you have, it gives you a love to love the unlovable with a Christ-like and supernatural love. It is a love that is pressed down, it's shaken, and it's running over. Is your love running over? Now, I'd like for us to observe the three forces that are going on in this story. First of all, we see the force of Satan and his minions possessing this man. We see the force of society trying to restrain this man with chains and irons to very little effect. And then we see the force of Jesus, the lover of this man's soul and your soul, setting him free so that he's sitting, dressed, and in his right mind. And this man does not want to let go of Jesus. Can you blame him? Are you following this? Does this make sense to you? Jesus says no. And I know when I first read this, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Come on, Jesus. Just think about it. Jesus was asked by the demons if they could go in the pigs, and Jesus said, okay. Jesus was asked by these hard-hearted people to leave. And Jesus says, okay. But when Jesus was begged by this man that he had delivered from all these demons to go with him, Jesus says, no. What is up with that? Does that make any sense to you at all? Jesus grants the demons' requests. Jesus grants the sinful people their request. And then he tells this man who was possessed by all these demons no, you can't come with me. Why is that? Why wouldn't Jesus let this man go with him? I mean, think of the testimony that he could give at a rally. Well, instead, Jesus says, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you, because following Jesus begins at home. Missionary work begins at home. Have you told your family what the Lord has done for you? Do your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and co-workers and neighbors, do they know what the Lord has done for you? Has the Lord done anything for you? Has the Lord had mercy on you? Has the Lord died for your sins? Has he given you his Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized in his name? Now, you may not have gone through demonic possession, but has the Lord carried your burdens? Has the Lord carried you through times of trouble? I know I grew up in the state of Indiana, and my first girlfriend was basketball. And it was a tough girlfriend. It's tough to play basketball in the state of Indiana. And so I ended up not making the team 1 year, and it broke my heart. I was devastated. You may think, you know, that's your biggest problem. But you know what? When you're in high school in the state of Indiana, it was a big problem, okay? And the Lord carried me through that. I can also think of, I was dating a girl who lived in Boulder, Colorado, and the relationship didn't work out. I was on a plane at, is it Stapleton Airport? And the plane had engine problems. We were stuck there for an hour or two. It was like a 3-hour flight or whatever. And so I'm in this plane for 4 or 5 hours, and I'm just devastated. And you know, the Lord carried me through those times. And I don't know what you're going through, but I want to encourage you. The Lord can carry you through those times. Have you turned to Jesus? And has he put you in your right mind? You know, our society turns to government for answers. Our society turns to education for answers. Our society turns to drugs and alcohol and sex for answers. But more than anything, perhaps for you and I, we tend to turn to TV to dull our pain, to be entertained. But only Jesus has the answers that you need. Only Jesus can put you in your right mind. Only Jesus can satisfy your greatest longings. And when you turn to Jesus, he will put you in your right mind. And he will give you the help that you need. And you'll be able to tell family and friends and co-workers and neighbors, and no one will be able to stop you. Who does God want you to tell about Jesus? Well, for this formerly demon-possessed man, he went on to tell his family about Jesus. This formerly demon-possessed man went on to tell the entire region about Jesus. Because when it says Decapolis, it's not talking about one city. It's talking about 10 cities. But yet, when I read this story in Mark chapter 5, I can't help but think of a guy in third grade. I can't help but think of Jack. You see, Jack was a really nice kid. He wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, but you would like Jack. Well, we had this tradition in third grade where we had a one-day calendar. This is dating me, but yeah, back then, they had one-day calendars. And so the next morning, you would pull off that day, and in third grade, it didn't get any better than pulling off that one piece of paper. We would fight over it. Well, it just so happened, today was the day for Jack to tear off the page from the prior day on the one-day calendar. And we all went to recess, and it had been a holiday or a weekend or something, and he had to tear off more than one day. Well, Jack tore off every page from that calendar. And I can still hear my third grade teacher screaming at Jack, and Jack sitting there, confused. You see, he didn't understand. Like 20 years after that event, one of my classmates told me that Jack had ended his life. You see, life just got too tough for Jack. People just didn't understand him. Has life gotten too tough for you? Do people not understand you? Well, Jesus does, and he can put you in your right mind. Let me ask you, do you know people that need Jesus? Jesus can put them in their right mind. And Jesus is sending you to tell them what he has done for you. Now finally, in the last verse of this passage, it says, "So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed." Isn't Jesus amazing? Has Jesus been amazing in your life? Have you given him the chance? I mean, when you pull off the covers in the morning, do you think, Jesus is amazing? And I'm going to see him amazing in my life today. Now, you may not know, but I love to learn. Learning can be fun. Learning can open up new worlds, and learning can be amazing. But nothing is as amazing as Jesus. You know, we spend hour after hour with our hobbies or entertainment or whatever because we find it more fulfilling and more amazing than Jesus. But yet Jesus is far more amazing and far more fulfilling than anything else in the world. Do you believe that? Does your life show that? Or are we like the disciples sitting in the boat saying, "Who is this man?" You see, Jesus can rebuke the wind and the waves. Jesus can rebuke a legion of demons. And we see later in Mark chapter 5 that Jesus can raise a little girl from the dead. Who is this man? He is the Son of the Most High God. He is the Master of the universe. He is the Creator of the universe. He created you. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is worthy of your worship. He is worthy of your adoration and your affection and your content of talk. He is worthy of your faith. Have you given yourself completely to Jesus? I would like you to ask yourself, what do I want in life? Do I want security and money? Do I want a happy family and happy relationships? Do I want significance and success? Do I want pleasure and comfort? What do I want? I mean, those things are all good. But yet, your deepest need is Jesus. And may Jesus be all you ever want. Now, I'm going to close this morning with a song by Fernando Ortega. And I would like you to reflect on this passage of Scripture. And you know, we run around, we're so busy, we don't have time to listen to God. So I would like you to just take this time and listen to what the Lord has to say to you.